doubt is a feeling, it's defined as a feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. It arises when we feel uncertain about something or someone. Traditionally, it has been contrasted with faith, which entails belief, complete trust, or confidence in someone or something. So faith and doubt may be incompatible, with doubt often depicted as a lack of faith or trust in God or God's promises. A notable example is found in New Testament. You know this story when Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, doubted Jesus' resurrection until he saw and touched Jesus himself in John chapter 20. However, it's worth noting that Bible does not explicitly state whether Thomas really actually touched Jesus, leaving room for doubt. Good morning, I'm Pastor Chung Ho Kwon. I'm here at Plattwoods Church with you in Worship Center. I also welcome all of you online worshipers. We continue our sermon series. We are in week three of Faith and today we like to think about, as you heard, faith and doubt. As previously mentioned, doubt has often been seen as the antithesis of faith. Faith in God involves confidence, trust despite circumstances or uncertainties, making doubt appear incompatible. However, the Bible does not condemn doubt outright. Instead, it portrays doubt as a natural aspect of human experience. There's a theologian who said, doubt is not the opposite of faith, but rather an element of it. The opposite of faith is disobedience, not doubt. In the Bible, obedience stems from listening, while disobedience involves not listening. And this distinction shed light on his perspective and on faith and doubt, maybe help us some, give us some idea for what we like to think about this morning. Many individuals of faith in the Bible, they grappled with doubt or experienced moments of doubt and uncertainty. And their faith often deepened through the such experiences. As seen in the story of Thomas, after doubting Jesus' resurrection, his encounter with the risen Christ, he confessed, he proclaimed, "My Lord, my God." His doubt ultimately strengthened his faith. And the gospel utilizes, you know, his story to convey a message of hope to all who struggle with doubt. And this is a message to all those doubting Thomases in the world. And Thomas is the only person in the entire New Testament, in entire gospel, who called Jesus as God. Today, I urge you to reflect on doubts rather than the convictions in your faith. We know doubt is not an easy topic to address, but I'll attempt to approach it through a couple of, you know, analogies. So let me begin with an analogy from baseball. I saw a couple of you are wearing a Royals jacket today. I must confess, I'm not a devoted Royals fan. I only went to ballpark once or twice a year so far. I cannot recall the, you know, extent of their losses in 2023. It was like a little, they made some history, right, last year. And however, I'm so pleased to hear that they got a strong start this year. And they led the chart in the top of this division in the American League by yesterday, right? And today they are in the second place. I don't know if you saw that, the link or not. While I hope they play, they may reach the postseason and World Series again, I hesitate to bet on it. Does anyone else share my ambivalence? Or am I the only bad fan here? I know how I love my favorite sports team. I watch their games and I check the stat of the teams and the players. And also, I feel interested in actually, buying their uniform or baseball cap. Also, I don't mind compare my team's stat with other teams and then figure out which position player must be replaced or which place must be strengthened by new players. Doubting my team has championship potential, I still can love the team. Similarly, our faith journey may involve moments of uncertainty. Doubt in this context does not signify disbelief, but rather reflect uncertainties about our capabilities. Turning to the Bible, the book of James addresses doubt in chapter 1. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Here the author James portrays doubt as the opposite of faith, equating it with being double-minded. Doubt in this context arises from divided allegiance rather than a mere uncertainty or questioning. So doubters are the people who in early church love God and also they love the world. It is not because they are uncertain or have questions on faith, but because they are simply double-minded. Why and how did they become double-minded? James didn't say it is because they are the bad people. He said very nicely, it is because they are lacking in wisdom. And the doubters in this book of James, they don't mean those who are uncertain about their belief. And if I use the baseball analogy again, to James, doubters are like the fan claiming they're Royals fan but cheering for the White Sox. And they are double-minded. That's the people James criticizes here. In our spiritual journey, the doubt may manifest as uncertainty, questioning, or unanswered inquiries. It differs from the double-mindedness described by James in his book. Even devout believers wrestle with questions such as, where is God in times of suffering? Or does God hear my prayers? These uncertainties are not indicative of deficient faith, but rather opportunities for deeper exploration, and understanding. Doubt we are talking about today is a doubt manifested as being uncertain, questionable, or unanswered. And it is different from the meaning of doubt as double-minded, James said. Our doubting doesn't mean we believe or we trust another God. It is like the doubt of Royals fans. They know what team they are cheering for. They are single-minded and but still doubt. Actually, the more the fans love their team, the more they can have a moment of doubt. I would say that every believer has doubt because we believe, because we trust God. Our faith brings doubt, questions, and certainties. If we don't believe, we don't need to doubt at all. Where is God when bad things happen to me? Does God hear my prayers? Is there a heaven? How can we know? These questions are not the enemies of faith. Uncertainties doesn't mean belief is lacking. Rather, certainty easily becomes a problem in faith. Doubt is a path to a deeper, richer encounter with God. Let me shift gear. Let me tell you another example. And it is hard to believe my youngest boy is now actually turns 18 soon and graduate from high school. I still remember days he was a preschooler. Like other preschoolers, he was a great doubter in the world. He asked, why? You can help me, because all children already joined their group. You can help me. I may say, take a role of parent, you may take the role of preschooler. It's time to brush your teeth. Because we brush our teeth at bedtime. Because we want to have healthy teeth. So we can chew. My boy didn't laugh. He asked another why. And before your preschoolers can chew another why, you shut the line of questioning down. And you are tired. You don't have easy answers. You don't want to be at this all night. Your inquisitive preschoolers, they are the kings of or queens of why. And you may ask, why they ask so many whys? Here's why. At this age, their brains are developing rapidly, and they are trying to connect the dots in their always new and fascinating world. And also, do you know they really don't want to know all the answers to their questions? That's a good thing you need to remember. Mostly, they want to let you know that something you said, something they observed is interesting. When they ask why, it means they are curious and want to explore it further by talking about it with you. My teenager son, he's here. He barely asks why these days. Do you know what? He's smart enough and his parents don't have always answers to his whys. And he may have a place he can find answers. His friends, teachers, and maybe his phone. Ask Siri. Good, smart parents. They actually turn the table. Instead of putting themselves in the position of why answerers or waiting for hearing more whys, they become the why asker. They ask their children such as why they think it's good to brush their teeth before bed. Frankly, I'm not good with that at all. But in the Bible, I have been amazed by how masterfully Jesus used a question to reach out people and teach them. Through his questions, he led people to another level of understanding, also challenge or have a new understanding in faith. Somebody counted how many questions Jesus asked in the gospel. This person said up to 135 questions. Here are some of those examples. Why are you so afraid? Why do you ask me about what is good? And what did Moses command you? And why were you searching for me? Why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? And if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Jesus always had these questions. He was quite a why asker. He wanted people to think about and understand who they are and what they believe and what they are doing. And he was ready to listen. And many of Jesus' questions are related to asking, why do you believe what you believe? And why do you do what you do? Jesus questioned about the religious practices and laws in his time. The priests and the crowds in Jerusalem who had too much certainty in their faith, they hated this. So they wanted to shut him up. So they made him crucified. And they tried to make nobody questioned about their religion and their religious practice. But it didn't work. Because we know Jesus was resurrected. God raised him to prove his righteousness. Jesus challenged the religion and theology of Jerusalem. He challenged the power and ideology of Rome. And Jesus led people to doubt and rethink about the justice system and religious values of his world. And he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God, which is different from what people believed and what they valued in his time. Jesus made people doubt their convictions, made them question about that first. Then he got it to a new awareness and new perspective on faith. Anne Lamott is one of my favorite authors. She talked about faith and doubt. She said, "The opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. Certainty is missing the point entirely. Faith includes noticing the mass, emptiness, discomfort, and letting it be there until some light returns." To Lamott, faith and doubt are companion in our spiritual journey. In the fabric of our existence, they weave a tapestry of profound significance, teaching us lessons of humility, resilience, and ultimately guiding us to profound trust and truth in God. And it is a process. It is a very long process. But we live in the very quick fix, quick communication world. We can call Google or Siri or any AI anytime. They are omnipresent. They are closer than, sometimes your God. And they are quick to provide an answer. AI is getting smarter. I heard that AI is smarter or getting smarter very soon in a couple of years than human brain. Maybe not already happened. And I heard the IQ of the ChatGPT going to be up to 1600. It's 10 times smarter than the most genius people among us. They could answer to any complicated question in 3 seconds. During we human beings are dealing with so many unanswered questions and unanswered prayers. The way of spiritual journey is not in quick fix, quick communication. It takes a while. It gives us more questions because the world is changing a lot. The world we live right now is different from the world we were born. Our perspectives changed. Our lives and our circumstances has been changed. It changes our life, also our faith, our relationship, and also it changed the world. Faith provides us doubt in our lifestyle, values and principles, laws and politics, and understanding of our society and the world. Faith asks you why you believe what you believe, why you value what you value, why you think important what you think important. Faith challenges us to think why and seek a new meaning and empower us to live a new life, see the things with different perspective, and faith guides us to pay attention to our own questions rather than seeking quick answer. It helps us to listen to others, listen to God. But some Christians still very quick, like AI. They say, "Oh, don't worry. It was all part of God's plan." I know the good intentions of those who said that. And they are the people who believe faith shines bright in moments of certainty. They seem to have the answers to all circumstances. Either this is God's will or not. They seem to have the answers all the time for you and for others. And the world must be black and white to them. No gray word to them. To those who doubt, they said this is a lack of faith. And to those people, doubt is a sign of weakness and doubt is the opposite of faith. But to me, the world is more colorful, more complex than they portray. And also that's a world I can see in the Bible. It is hard to understand why Job suffered a lot. It's hard to see why, believe the people of Nineveh, the enemy of Israel, easily repented when this reluctant prophet, you know, Jonah preached. And why didn't God listen to prophet Jeremiah's prayers? In our daily life, we wonder why God doesn't listen to the prayers for dying children. Because we believe God's goodness, suffering, unanswered prayers are mystery. Because we trust God's goodness, it does. Let me finish this message. Faith and doubts are not mutually exclusive, but rather intertwined aspects of our spiritual journey. In faith as certainty, I am certain about God's love. I'm certain that God loves me. I'm certain that God's love is patient, and that love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It is not self-seeking. And I am certain that God's love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts and always hopes. And I am certain that God's love never fails. Faith as certainty is to believe that love. But faith as uncertainty is to know that God's love manifests in various forms in the world. I can see faith could shine brighter even. Our prayers go unanswered. Even our faith makes us remain with more questions than answers. In faith, doubt is not a sign of weakness, but a testament to our humanity. It arises from the depths of our soul, questioning, probing, seeking, understanding. It challenges us to confront the unknown, to grapple the complexity of existence. In that moment, a new faith, a deeper relationship with God could be emerged in our life. The faith which is tested, refined, and strengthened. This kind of faith can embrace even those people who have a different faith from us. I would say, because of faith, we do not fear uncertainty. The moment of doubt and uncertainty might be sacred invitation to delve deeper into the mystery of God's presence in life. We must cultivate a spirit of openness, embracing doubt as a natural part of our journey. And it is important to understand our own questions better and more than seek a quick answer. We must create a space where questions are welcome, where doubts are acknowledged. And I believe that's where our spiritual growth is experienced. And Plattwoods Church would like to create and offer a space where you can find comfort in your uncertainties or questions. We want to approach doubt with curiosity rather than fear, recognizing it as an opportunity for spiritual growth. We believe faith is not a destination or an answer, but a journey, a continual process of seeking, discovering, and evolving. We believe we are invited to walk this path together here at Plattwoods Congregation. And we believe Jesus is the answer. But we won't forget to ask, so what is your question? Let us pray. Oh God, our doubt challenges us to confront uncertainties and grapple with the complexities of our life, our existence in the world. Just give us courage and strength to embrace doubt with curiosity rather than fear, so we can lead to spiritual growth, a deeper understanding of your presence in our lives. As a community, guide us to create spaces where questions are welcomed and doubts are acknowledged, and fostering a journey of continuous seeking and discovery together. In Christ we pray. Amen.